Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Face.
All right. Start one over, Matthew.
You can start the show over.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 296. This is Jorge.
Dope. This is Matt.
Dope.
And I don't want the world to see me, because I don't think that they'd understand. Well, everybody's made to be broken. I just want you to know who I am.
Dan, suck dick. Dan.
What? That's a great intro.
Why didn't you come in? He was letting it roll. Yeah, dude.
I was letting you guys have your moment with.
You
the
know what?
Dolls.
He's gonna sit it out, and then people are gonna think he was participating later.
Yeah, like we're overdoing it.
Like I saw that message. It's all keep doing those '90s things, and someone's like, I don't know how to do anything else. It's like, motherfucker. I started that.
Who said I don't know how to do anything else? That wasn't me.
That's me. Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know how to do anything other than 90s, brother. If anybody at this table has claimed the 90s, it's your boy.
And to be fair, it's me. If anybody has been singing 90 songs out of key, it's been us.
It's been me by myself.
I mean,
forever.
Sure. Forever. We've been doing it since
I've been doing it since 1990.
I was telling one of my coworkers today, I go, dude, if I'm being honest with you, like the 90% of what is in my head is movie lines and 90s lyrics. That's basically what's jangling around this fucking head.
File cabinets full
Mine
of 90s lyrics.
Just like a busy signal. Just a dial tone. Just nothing.
Bling. Damn.
Yeah. Just like that.
That's fucked up for you, dude.
Yeah. It's kind of fun, though. I mean, it's just like...
It's always a surprise.
It's just like a blank canvas, you know? Holy you never know what's going to come through just vividly. And
well, wildly. Boys, how you been?
You know, it's every day is an adventure, man. Every day. Just wake up and fucking keep doing it.
You're like, every day... It's a little bit worse than the previous.
Yeah, but you know, you keep doing it, and you just keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Keep on trucking.
And you hope that one day, it's not going to be so bad.
You hope that one day, you won't get a trucker that shows up and is like, ass, cash, or grass, and starts fucking you, just so you can get a ride to the next stop.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
Has that happened to you?
No.
Often?
It goes with keep on trucking.
Oh. Does it?
Well... How you been?
I've been pretty good. I mean, pretty good. Matt and I worked out on Saturday.
Yeah, I know.
We did. You're all, yeah, I know. I was fucking pissed about it.
I was fucking pissed.
We moved over 42,000 pounds. Like ants.
The look on your face is so great.
It's like 42,000 pounds. Over 42,000.
At one time.
Croms. Man. And no, this was Dwayne Johnson's workout that Matt found. It was his back and bicep workout, and it was pretty juicy. And it was good to bond with your boy here.
Yeah, I asked him if he was coming through, and he's like, "Yeah, we need dude time."
And you're like, "Fuck, I want to cancel."
that's pretty much what went through my head.
He must have had a rough previous evening.
Well, no, because in all honesty, last time we recorded last week, we chatted out as we do sometimes, even though it was really cold. And we talked about life, and it was like clear that things are going on, man. You know, so we needed to hang out. Look at his face, Jorge is horrified.
I don't understand.
Yeah, you just got to bro out sometimes.
Yeah, so we
bro
man. Out.
Christ,
for real. Tell him, dude,
about broing out. Sometimes you just have to sweat on each other.
Sometimes
dude.
You got to sweat on each other. Yeah.
It's all good right. stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. You want to come sweat on us?
Y'all, no, dude.
Come on.
I would much rather be productive at my.
You can do repairs at my house,
dude. There's look. If that piece of shit was repairable, I'd be the first one there. But that your home is held together with dental floss and a hope.
At least something's held together. I'm hope.
Living on a prayer.
I'm surprised your fucking weight stations haven't like fallen off into the cliff.
Oh, they will.
They will.
Wait a minute. I want to hear him talk shit about your home again. What did you say?
It's the smallest thing I've ever seen in my life. Basically, it's two shoeboxes smashed together.
She also said that.
He's in his kitchen. Like, he's falling into his kitchen. He's falling. He's falling inside of his kitchen.
Yeah. It's like, I was trying to go to the bathroom. I went into the refrigerator. Oops.
Like that.
No. I mean, like, literally the floor is falling. Wow. Have you not stepped into the fucking portal?
I guess not.
Oh, yeah. No, the kitchen floor is falling in. It's tight.
Damn. Damn. It is a nice area, though.
Totally.
But that's what you pay for.
That's what you pay for.
It's San Diego. You don't pay for the housing. You pay for, like, the things around the house.
Yeah, totally.
The canyon.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it hikeable?
Is it explorable?
With the cool coastal canyon breeze?
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
That's a good breeze. What about you? Matthew, how have you been?
I've been actually pretty fucking good, man. Yeah. Works good. Doing some things on the house, which I super love doing.
He's been taking time away from the text thread. He's like, that's why I feel so good.
I have been, dude. I can't. Well, dude, because y'all start at like 7:30 in the morning, and
you start at 7:30.
It doesn't stop until like about like 2 o'clock when I think Red is like ending his work day. And
ending? No, that shit's prime right then. That's
okay.
Why.
Well, that's okay. So that's prime, and then like y'all get into a fucking argument about
the fucking cock is all the way up my ass at that time.
Some bullshit, and I go, well, I'm not gonna respond to any of this.
Yeah,
cool. Catch you later, evil bros.
It's good. He has us on mute.
I'm always sending you guys little snippets of wonderful movies, and you guys don't watch them, but if you did, they would really help you.
You don't know that.
Hey, Matthew.
Yeah, buddy.
Have you watched anything or played anything?
You know, I could sit here and tell you how I haven't watched anything, but you know what? I watched tonight's movie, and that's enough, but I did watch another movie. Good. I watched a movie about a guy that was an angel who would later go on to play Moose
Michael?
In the greatest movie
you
ever.
You watched Michael?
Yes, I did.
Shut the fuck up. You watched Michael.
I've never seen that movie before.
Why would you watch that movie?
I wanted
out
to watch
here,
Michael.
Bro.
Yeah.
He's the
that's
angel.
That's a weird
Michael.
Movie.
That's a fucking bizarre
so,
entry in the fucking John Travolta oeuvre.
Based
watching
off of
Con Air and Michael recently,
based off of like the cover of that movie, I always thought it was going to be one of those like sappy Lifetime Hallmark movies. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. This looks dumb as fuck. It was not that. I was very surprised at what that was, whatever that was.
Have you fucked with Phenomenon yet?
Phenomenon.
No,
that's another.
I don't know what that movie
that's
is.
That's another one of those. You're like, what the?
Have
fuck?
You fucked with
yeah.
Powder yet, dude?
I have seen Powder,
of course,
because it was done by that pedo that did
Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, that one, mm-hmm. Victor Salva. I saw mm-hmm. that. My brother loved that. He was like obsessed with Powder for some weird reason.
In retrospect,
other brother
and other Powder.
Yeah, both. Yeah. So, then I've been watching a lot of like true crime videos and stuff on YouTubes and, playing Dead by Daylight.
What a surprise.
That's what I do. It's fucking weird. I have all the free time in the world and I don't do a goddamn thing. Like I don't even watch anything. I don't even know where my days
go
anymore.
What do you do?
I don't even know. I have no fucking idea. It just like I lose days at a time. This is fucking wild.
That's dementia,
it's
bro.
Like, I leave here on Tuesday night and I'm like, all right, I got to watch this
He's
movie.
Really
I'm
going
to watch it tomorrow.
Oh, can hear me.
And then it's like Sunday night and I'm like, what the fuck have I done for the last 4 days?
Yeah, I think Matt's really depressed. Oh, what?
It's wild.
I mean, you're probably not wrong.
I just need mushrooms.
Are you, Matt, are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Good.
All right. Well, basically the same.
I watched Michael.
The same tape.
I think I think,
watched Michael.
I think. Oh, I watched Ponyo. That was tight.
Yeah, he told me about that. That was your first watch.
That was, yeah, first time I saw Ponyo. Then I think that's it.
Huh.
Whole lot of nothing going on.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I talk about Gunpowder last week?
You did. You
powder?
Said it's a good show on HBO Max.
Yeah, on HBO Max.
Oh, you talked about it to me.
So I started watching Gunpowder. It's only 3 episodes, but it's like Game of Thrones, but like not. It's Catholics versus Protestants, and Jon Snow is actually playing like his great-great-great uncle or grandpa or some shit. It's got Guy Fawkes in it. It's pretty cool. It's three episodes, like an hour and 5 minutes each.
Dope, huh? Jon Snow gets to, Kit Harington gets to play his actual D, like from way back.
Yeah, so there's that. and then I started watching a show on HBO Max called I May Destroy You. And it's got that girl from Chewing Gum. I can't remember her name, but she's real good. That show gets real fucking dark and real hard to watch. And it's doing a lot of social commentary, but it's actually effective because it's like really fucked up. But it's good.
All right, well, let's get on to the fucking laundry list.
Oh, it's not. It's a good size.
It's like 30 movies. That's
we,
it.
Sophia and I, we watched.
Hi, Sophia. I don't know if
you've seen it. Hi, we started watching Barton Fink. Barton Fink. You ever seen
That's
it?
That's a great fucking Barton movie. I own that Fink. Movie. And that means something because I own it.
We started
have
watching.
Have you seen that movie?
Fuck, of course.
That's good. That's one of the that's one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies, I think.
We started watching The Hudsucker Proxy. Ever heard of that? Ooh,
that's a good movie.
I have not heard of that.
That was a great movie. Oh, wow.
Sorry, go ahead.
I went full blown Kurt Creel right there. Oh, wow, that's a great film.
Already.
I have white tennis shoes from Costco. So he actually bought those. It's serial killer shit. Okay, so
I mean
adaptation. So we continued our Charlie Kaufman stuff after watching Being John Malkovich. And you guys both have seen that movie and are fans of that movie, right?
Yes.
Good, good.
Which movie?
Adaptation. With Nicolas Cage.
No.
Ooh. Ooh. What do you think? You think he'd like that? I think he'd like you're all no.
I do not agree.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
I watched a movie called After Hours from the 80s. It's a Scorsese movie.
Scorsese!
And I'd always heard about it, never seen it, and it's pretty well regarded, and it's about this dude who tries to go score this chick that he met. It's a really atypical kind of premise for a Scorsese movie from what you really think, but it shows his range. He tries to go score this chick he meets at a coffee shop. It's like 1986, and then she calls him over at like midnight. And he goes over there and it's a fucking nightmare. And the rest of his night is just like one thing after the next. And it's bizarre and it's pretty well done. And it's New York City. And the rest, he's just trying to get back home and he can't get there. And it's Griffin Dunne, the guy from American Werewolf in London. And yeah, it's pretty cool seeing Scorsese kind of like flex his chops and something like that.
Okay.
It's on HBO Max right now. Fun movie. Not quite a horror movie, not quite a thriller, but like a dark comedy thriller. I watched a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger called Raw Deal. I'd always seen the cover for Raw Deal. Have you watched Raw Deal?
It's a like a red cover with his face.
Fuck yeah. That movie, Arnold is silly. He's a silly motherfucker, right? But this movie is really funny. It's on HBO Max and I had never seen it. And I'm really glad I watched it.
Yeah, I know this fucking cover. I don't know if I've seen this movie, but...
Dude, he plays an undercover FBI agent.
Of course he does.
And that's... It doesn't work, and it's great. So, if you're listening, I'd say drop what you're doing right now. Go on HBO Max and watch Raw Deal. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it's fucking hilarious. I watched it twice. And Sophia didn't get through it either time, so this might be one just for me.
German is der City High.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. And then I watched a film called Compliance. Have you guys heard about this fucking movie?
Compliance?
Compliance?
No.
What's that from?
I don't remember. Wait, that's from Total Recall.
No.
What's that from?
Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, shit.
Shit.
Yeah, that's not Arnold in that one.
It's not.
Who the fuck's in that one?
Compliance?
Yeah.
Flight of the Navigator, that was Fred Savage.
Fred Savage.
And that was, what's his name? Pee Wee Herman as the voice of the ship.
Rubin. It was Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens.
Yep. That's right. Okay. Compliance came out in like 2000.
It's not Fred Savage, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah, it's not Fred Savage. It's the guy who grows up. Who,
yeah, continue.
Who is it?
It's not Fred Savage. We'll look that shit up. Non-Fred Savage.
Okay. We'll look that shit up. Yeah, because I'm having trouble placing who it is.
But he looks like Fred Savage.
So this Compliance movie, though, it's the guy who directed last year's The Hunt, which was one of Jorge's favorite horror films of 2020.
Is number five?
I remember five, or it was either five or like a drop off of five.
Yeah, same director from like 2012 or 2013. It's one of the two. I can't remember 2012. Exactly. But it's on Amazon Prime right now. If you have that service, you don't have to rent it. But it's this is a movie that's like so fucking crazy. Like I wouldn't believe it at all if it didn't happen. And not only did it happened like 70 times, where a guy prank calling a fast food place calls them and says that one of their employees was caught stealing. And then one thing proceeds to the next, and they get the management on the phone, and then they convince the management to strip search them. Then they convince them to sit there and watch them while they're naked. Then they convince them to have another person come watch them while they work. And then they convince them to do all sorts of shit, and it keeps going and going. You're like, no fucking way. But it's extremely disturbing because it shows what people are going to do just because of the idea of an authority figure being on the phone. Hmm. And I really fucking recommend it. It was hard to get through like the first 30 minutes because you're like, it's uncomfortable. You're just, but that's the kind of movie because I like what it's saying. Well, I don't like what it's saying, but
how am I gonna?
You like that it's that it's allowed to say what it's saying.
I like that it's allowed to say that people are impressionable, dumb motherfuckers because it's true. Like, because this shit, not only did it happen this once, it happened like 70 times and people did it like every time until someone finally came in and is like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And they didn't have just one person complicit in it. Like they had four or five people complicit in it. And these are regular people, like, you know, so pretty interesting shit.
Okay.
Yeah, there's another one called the Stanford Prison Experiment I mentioned earlier, not earlier, like months ago.
Earlier this year.
Earlier in my life. And I like that shit too. Anyway.
I always do that. When I'm talking to Ronnie about something, I'll be like, yeah, just a few days ago. And it's like literally like 8 months.
Ollie will say just the other day.
It was 1998. No, but.
Just feels like yesterday.
I watched Birdemic, Shock and Terror.
How have you just now seen this?
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I had some shit on the show.
That Hadron Collider shit.
That's on Amazon right now as well. Have you seen it?
Yes.
It's fucking hilarious.
That movie's like 10 years old.
And again, like
2009, maybe?
It's tough for me if a movie is trying to be bad. And
that movie was trying to be bad.
It has this ecological. It has this ecological message, and it's just so inept with like its sound. Like you can't, I mean, it's just fucking, it was hilarious, dude. I mean, if it was trying to be bad, then it still
got accomplished.
It still got me. Like it still fucking got me. So I'm glad to add that to the list of so bad it's good films.
1.8 on IMDb.
That's hella tight.
That's fucking wrong. It's a 9.8. It's like Godfather Part 2. And then I watched a movie called The Void. Because we did Psycho Gorman last week.
That's what I feel about The Void.
Something about this, though. So those guys, okay, the guy who did Psycho Gorman, he's one half of the people who did The Void, right? Mm-hmm. They were the film company
The better half, I think.
Well, yeah. They were the film company called Astron, and they did Manborg, and they also did Father's Day, and they also did that movie, The Editor. So those guys all worked together, and they're all part of that same film crew. The Void is the one film of theirs that's not all goofy. So now knowing that like those are all their movies, that makes a little more sense. Does that make sense?
I guess.
No?
That movie's not good.
So The Void, that movie fucking sucks. The fucking practical effects, though, I mean, there are a couple sequences. There's one where they're like beating or they're like stabbing the monster to death in the hallway. And then there's one in the basement. The
basement is the only good thing.
There's one in a hallway that was fucking disgusting. It was like, damn, that's good.
Disgust. I don't remember any of this.
But most of it, too, the dialogue is like cutscenes from a stupid ass video game, like a wannabe Dead Space type game.
Wait, and is then, it? Like,
yes. It's like, oh, wait till you see what I have. And I've brought them from the nether realms and they're going to suck my cock. You know what I mean? It's like
that would be a much more interesting movie.
That would be.
It would be. But that's Psycho Gorman, basically. So we're headed that direction.
Okay.
The Hunky Boys. And I'm glad I finally.
Not my Hunky Boys.
I'm glad I finally watched that, though. And it makes me want to like see the other stuff they did, though. The Editor.
I want to see The Editor. I think we should do The Editor on this show.
Right, and we've done Father's Day. We all like that.
George feels like we should do a movie.
Well, I mean, it's the Father's Day guy, so yeah. So yes.
And Sophia, hi Sophia. You
did that.
I want to do it again. We drove up to LA to see Saint Maud at a drive-in, the nearest drive-in playing it. And obviously we're going to do an episode on it, but that was a fun thing to go do that. It was nice. It was nice to see it. I look forward to seeing it in the comfort of a living room. It's a different experience, but it was a nice reason to go on a fucking road trip and listen to Around the Fur with fog rolling in until 2 a.m. On the way back.
Mm-hmm.
It was dope.
Mm-hmm.
He did that right after the workout too.
Yeah. That was a long day. It was good. Fuck. It was kind of like, how that happened too. She got home from work and I figured we'd go. I was like, do you want to like go up there? And she's like, when, tomorrow? I'm like, no, tonight. And I was joking. She's all, yeah, let's go. And I was like, okay.
Now you're committed.
Right. But then we're committed. And so we're driving up there and I was going to eat before we went because I was fucking exhausted. I didn't eat till like 9:30 that night. And it was a mistake. I was fucking pissed. I was like hangry as fuck. And I was trying to like regulate my mood and everything was pissing me off. And then I ate and I felt like fuck, I just had my period and everything's fine now. Wow. So yeah, if you're going to move 42,000 pounds, get some food in you quick.
42,000. Is it 42,000 conjoined?
No, each. 42,820 pounds. It was kind of a lot. I mean,
tight.
It's all nothing in the scheme of existence.
It really is nothing.
But
same as my fucking home upgrades is nothing.
But it felt
useless.
It felt really dope.
I'm not gonna let that happen. In fact, I'm gonna go through and delete them all.
He's gonna delete all the dopes.
Yeah.
Just put a sound clip of something else over it.
Yeah.
So I will refrain from my thoughts on Saint Maud, but our buddy in Northern California, he said, are you looking forward to defending it on the show? Because he's seen it also. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
You know, that worries me already.
That's a weird thing because like Red and I don't necessarily misalign on movies a lot. It's just that the ones that we do, it's pretty obvious. But I think Saint Maud looks like it's going to be pretty all right.
Well, he doesn't.
I haven't seen any trailers or anything, but.
You just haven't?
He automatically is like, nah, dude. Just the name.
A24? No.
No.
Are we going to get A24, dude? Yeah. Hey, don't. That's Discord only.
Fuck.
We're going to get Pixar, dude. We're going to get Studio Ghibli. I hate that shit. Okay, go ahead.
So let's see. We finished up that fucking New York hipster kid show, Search Party. It ended up pretty good. I rather enjoy that show. I recommend it if you are, if you have a hatred for New York hipsters.
Now that I have HBO Max.
It does a pretty good teardown of those dumb fuckers. Wifey and I started the Snowpiercer TV show.
Ooh, how is that?
It's pretty good. So I was a little bit confused because I was like, yo, is this shit a prequel or is this shit a sequel? Because there's people doing things that I'm not sure. It ends up that it is a parallel timeline where there is also a giant fucking train going until eternity. And it's pretty good.
Jennifer Connelly.
She has a colony living in her.
Is old.
It's like.
Is she's old?
She now. Is. She is.
She's
now.
Old.
Yeah,
it's okay though. That's she's okay. Still. She's still good looking.
How old is she?
Old. But anywho, yeah, I rather enjoy that show. It's goofy. It's goofy. It's
how
it's
old a, is she? Old.
It's about a fucking bunch of people living on a train that's 1,001 cars long, and there's she's just
50.
There's just things that you have to accept, like how does a train run infinitely with no extra fuel?
You burn people.
Who cares, dummy? It doesn't matter. You just burn the poor people. That's
it's about the metaphor of the class struggle on the train.
I mean, yeah, literally. Like, that's the yes. I mean, if you've seen if you've seen Snowpiercer, you get the themes. Well, it's just a continuation of that theme.
I recommended that movie to a dude like 2 years ago, a dude that I know from AA meetings and whatnot. But anyway, he watches it and he's all, usually I like your recommendations, but this movie, I just found it really unrealistic. I'm like, you dumb motherfucker. Like, the train part, the everyone living on a train part is unrealistic. The rest of it is actually a documentary, you know? So, but it's like, yeah, you didn't watch this movie where everyone's living on a train in the future for realism, did you? Like, you didn't actually do that.
But no, it's pretty good. We're like 3 or 4 episodes in, and it's pretty enjoyable. It's got a little bit of a whodunit thing going on in the beginning, which it's all right. I recommend it so far. Any news we should get to before we take a break? anything actually happening in this world?
I found out Kevin Smith is doing... He's doing Masters of the Universe.
But
it's animated in the style of Castlevania.
Is he doing
that? I don't know, but it's got fucking Mark Hamill and Sarah Michelle Gellar. And,
what is he doing with Leanne it, though?
Cunningham. He's direct. Henry Rollins is fucking in it.
How is he directing an animated thing?
How is he directing anything?
I don't know.
Dude, you're preaching to the choir.
Tony Todd's in it.
I'm preaching to myself.
He's got
daughter in it.
Did y'all see the Pacific Rim animated series trailer?
Nope.
No. It looks pretty fucking good.
Does it have robots fighting each other?
Not each other, stupid.
They fight against the fucking kaiju. The kaiju. Dude.
I want to see them fight each other. I've seen that.
Well, they do. If you've seen Pacific Rim Uprising, then you would know that they do fight each other.
So...
But stupid, not in this animated series, though, dummy.
Already happened, stupid.
It's already done, dude. They don't do that anymore.
That's Transformers, dude.
Civil War's over.
Yeah, I wasn't, I know you like that movie. I'm not
first big one's on the great. First one. Second one's a big old fat turd.
Do you guys have any interest in the Kong vs. Godzilla movie?
I have interest that it's gonna be on HBO Max.
That's basically
it. Oh, is it?
It's Adam Wingard. And I know you guys.
No, it's
hit and miss.
That's good. It's not.
No.
Let's go through this real quick. You guys don't like your next.
It's not universally bad. Wingard.
No,
he's hit and miss.
Guest, which is tight.
Okay, let's go through this since this is a horror show. Yeah, The Guest. All three of us, I think, like.
Yep. Guest was great.
Guest is fucking good. Death Note. Fuck off.
Awful. Yep.
Just fucking awful. Okay.
Blair Witch. Awful.
I'm not even he did the remake of that shit?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Dude, that was awful.
Okay, here's a big point of departure between the three of us. I think I like You're Next lot.
Well, you're wrong.
You guys are both wrong about
You're Next. We are not wrong.
You're Next.
No.
About You're Next. And you don't like You're Next either, do you?
Jorge? I do not.
Yeah. My favorite of his, though, is probably The Guest. What am I missing?
That's the only good one.
We got Blur Witch, The Guest, VHS 2. His segment was Phase 1 Clinical Trials, which is
pretty good. He puts the thing in his
eye. Yeah, ABC's of Death, Q is for Quack, which is pretty good. VHS, Tape 56, I don't remember anything about that. You're Next, Auto Erotic, Horrible Way to Die, Pop Skull, Homesick.
Pop Skull, one of the Patreon suggested that.
No, that was Metal Face.
I've heard Popsicle like last year though.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah. But
yeah.
I'm not
I like two of his movies. Excited. I like The Guest and You're Next.
Okay. Anything else? You got anything?
For news? I don't think so, dude.
All right. We're going to be right back after we take a quick break and talk about a movie.
We take a shit.
Quick break.
What? This is a Patreon heavy episode.
What are you doing over there, Matthew?
Twisting my knobs.
Oh, saw it.
Hey, Rhett, guess what?
What?
We're back.
We're back. Yeah.
Hey, Matt,
get ready for a great fucking movie.
Tell them about the fucking Patreon, homie.
People, I want to talk to you about monkeys. Not just any monkeys, capuchin monkeys. You know, they understand fucking money. They'll trade it for goods and services that they value, like sex and marshmallows and grapes. They'll even seek out a good deal. What I'm trying to get here is that even monkeys understand the concept of paying for goods that you value. So why don't you go over to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and prove that you're smarter than a monkey and donate, and you're not just going to get nothing in return. You know what you're going to get? Exclusive content, bonus episodes, exclusive merchandise, and access to Patreon-only Discord. How's that for a good deal, you fucking monkey?
Yeah.
Patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
If you just adjust your views for a moment, and you'll realize that the unregulated free market is a natural part of nature. Just adjust your views to the way the world works.
Yeah.
And get on the motherfucking Patreon. Patreon. What do you think, Jorge? Take it away.
I'm in shock and I'm in disbelief of the display that I've just been given.
I'd say that's a pretty good sell.
All right. Well, the Who Goes There podcast watch 2021, 2020s, I don't know, depending on what time of year you watched it. The Reckoning. directed by none other than Neil Marshall, written by Neil Marshall, Charlotte Kirk, Edward Evers Swindle. A boy, that last name. Am I right, dudes?
Well, on the nose.
Starring Charlotte Kirk, Sean Pertwee, Stephen Waddington, Joe Anderson, Suzanne McGowan, Ian White, Leon Ogdenden, Emma, not going to work here anymore, Mark Ryan, Bill Fellows, Oliver Trevor, and a baby.
What's the baby's name?
Doesn't matter.
Baby. Okay.
Matt Smith.
Yeah, buddy.
What'd you think of The Reckoning, might it?
This is not what I would call a good movie. This is not what I would call an enjoyable movie. And I had a lot of thoughts that I felt bad for having while watching this movie. And then they were confirmed to be true. We'll get into those. I think this movie is an absolute dumpster fire, and I'm sad for Neil Marshall.
Rhett?
It's February, and we have a strong contender for worst film of 2021. Yeah. I'll be very surprised if this doesn't crack the top five worst of the year later, because there are bad movies, and there are movies that look bad, and they should be bad, and the pedigree is bad, and the budget is bad, and I'm sure this isn't a huge budget. But anyway, on paper, this doesn't sound like it would be one of the most painful to sit through movies in recent memory. Mm-hmm. It's an hour and 51 minutes of bad.
Oh boy, is it.
And I thought initially the first 20 minutes when it started with her making her being the main actress who we'll get into making ridiculous fucking faces, I thought maybe I'd be in for something special that would be fucking just hilarious unintentionally. No. After it hits 30 minutes and you just realize that you've got another like hour and a half to go, It's not good.
I broke it into like 20-minute chunks throughout the day.
Yeah, even to satisfy your own curiosity, this is a rare occasion where I would basically say, like, do not waste 2 hours of your life to watch this.
I want people to know the pain.
Well, you'd only need... We have to watch this whole thing. And look, I'm just going to say right out of the gate, when I hit that one-hour mark, I used that fast forward button a few times.
Damn.
I'm just going to tell you guys.
I sat through the whole fucking thing.
I used that fast forward button a few times.
You could have fast forwarded through like 10 minute chunks and not missed anything.
It wasn't 10 minutes. I was like, oh, okay, they're in a different place. But then I started realizing, you notice something too. It's like, oh, same place, same place, same place, same place, same place. It was, the movie's fucking awful. It's just really bad.
Well, I mean, Nah, just kidding.
I was like, no fucking way.
Nah, dude, come on. This shit sucked. What are we doing? Why did we watch this, dude? Who recommended this? Who agreed to this? I want to know, because I here's the thing. Yeah, if you're going to do it, this is already, you're already fighting an uphill battle. You're doing a witch movie.
Yep.
Which is a period piece. And arguably...
You got to throw in the plague too. Make sure the plague's in there.
To a make world it topical. Where a film called The Witch exists. And if you're trying to do that sort of tone and your execution is like a 5-year-old did it, you fucked up.
It's more like Charlotte Kirk did it.
You fucked up. And I don't know what happened, dude. Neil Marshall used to be a director of some clout and some, I mean, one of my favorite films of all time, The Descent, is a Neil Marshall film. What?
Written and directed by.
The direction is awful.
It's also written by someone else, though.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
The direction is awful. The visuals are fucked.
I thought there was a couple.
There was a couple shots where he did the Neil Marshall stuff. Like the opening shot of the people in Lie.
The
like
sound the design is fucked.
Awful. It was like Tenet.
Yep.
Wait, did I say that?
But that was intentional, dude. The score is fucked.
It's a video game guy. It's a guy who writes fucking scores for video games.
The acting is fucked.
There's a reason.
The acting is good, though.
The costumes are fucked.
Yeah. Cowboy hats.
I just don't like... honestly, dude. It's
fedoras.
They invented the fedora right then.
The fucking and that's how we wore our hats, because that was the way that we did. It's like
that was the style.
That was the style at the time, and we liked it. And God damn it, dude! An hour and 51 minutes of pure, absolute
torture,
garbage film.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, I almost, I going hard on this movie is almost like, it's almost like it's a little bit fucking cute.
To go hard on it?
Yeah. Like, I almost like, it's an infant.
It's not just that it's a bad movie. It's that it's a movie I really dislike. Like,
yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like, God, this is bad. It was kind of like, I really am not having a good time. Like, I'm really wanting, I can't believe this is still going. Like, I just want to check with you guys. What was your single favorite part of this movie?
The
guy's head.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, there's one scene where Neil Marshall says, fuck it, let the wheel go over this guy's face.
Yep. Yeah, because I was like, why are we focusing on these people? Like, this is so weird.
Yep.
And then I was like, okay, well, they're gonna string her up as a witch too. And then that's not what happened.
And that's the thing. So the creative kills or the creative stuff like that happens with these inconsequential side characters. And there's so much like, to even say the plot is dumb in this, again, kind of to say.
That's supposing that's leading you on to believe that the movie has a plot.
Well, it has one. It's just,
it has like seven.
It has a lot of shit, too much shit. And then also it's a very unfocused movie. Like, they're throwing so much shit at the thing. And then fucking like, it starts out with this, like the structure of it starts out with flashbacks of her and her husband.
It starts out with like a fucking 15 minute intro info dump.
There are moments in that intro scene where I'm watching it and I'm thinking to myself, I go, they better not show me a wedding ring to show that these two people are married.
Please, of course they do.
Please don't. You did it. Okay. And then we're going to go. She's pregnant. Oh no.
It's like they said, what's the most obvious choice we can make for every situation we set up? And then they went with that.
It's unfathomably blad. I can't get over it, dude. I'm in utter disbelief at this film.
Yeah. Because it's Neil Marshall, you're saying, right?
No, even without Neil Marshall, this thing is
it's bad.
I don't know what it is. I'm more disappointed because it's Neil Marshall, or I'm less. I don't know.
Now is as good a time as any to tell you, okay, everyone, the protagonist of this film, I don't remember her name, but the actress name is Charlotte Kirk.
Yeah, what was the woman's name in the movie?
I don't fucking remember. It was
Grace Haverstock.
Grace.
Dope. Okay, so.
Haves a cock.
So, Grace does have a cock.
Do you get it because of Haverstock? Because the stocks, dude? Do you get the fucking thing, dude?
You just hate writers, dude. Writers do that all the time, bro. Okay, so, no. The writers in this instance were, as the aforementioned Neil Marshall, who also directed, but he also had someone help him. He let Charlotte Kirk, who plays this protagonist extremely poorly, I might add, like a laughable fucking performance from the get-go, like immediately. He let her, you would think, inexplicably help him write the screenplay for this, but not so inexplicable, because I'm watching this with Sophia, and I'm like, she sucked a lot of dick to get in this movie.
Dude, I had the exact same thought.
And then Matt's like, he texted me, he's all, isn't that bad that I thought that was the case? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know what's worse? It being true. It turns out she's dating this motherfucker. And then you look up Charlotte Kirk, and she's involved in multiple sex scandals with CEOs, former Warner Brothers CEO, and et cetera, et cetera. So literally, she's sucking a lot of cock to get roles, okay? That's why. I want you guys to know. I want you guys to be aware.
I did have the feeling, like, when the movie started, I was like, this really feels like she wrote this whole thing, like, this is just for her. It's her vanity project. I'm like, she's a terrible actress. How is she a lead in a movie that Neil Marshall's directing? And Rhett confirmed that they were, like, dating. So I feel like he directed this. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I feel like he directed this and she had all the input in the world. Because did you notice that this is a woman who's being tried for being a witch? She's being thrown in dungeons. She's being dragged through the mud. She's being whipped and just having just torture for days. But her face is always perfectly always clean. Perfect. Her hair is always shiny and not messy. And I'm just like, how much input did she have in this? Like, why isn't she as disgusting as like the random villagers that are just standing around? And if it just seemed like it was all her.
It's a vanity project for her, dude. And it's awful.
Okay, so you remember how Neil Marshall recently did another great film, which I haven't seen, but he did the remake of Hellboy in 2019, right? Mm-hmm. Which is supposed to be garbage, and that's probably not surprising. Anyway, she was set to star in that remake by one of the fucking studio heads she was supposedly fucking, right? That guy denies it and says he met her at a Laker game. Anyway, Hellboy director Neil Marshall, the horror auteur behind 2002's Dog Soldiers and 2005's The Descent, was said to be extremely impressed with Kirk, so much so that he later started dating her and directed her in his latest feature, right, which Kirk co-wrote and co-produced. So he met her during the casting process for Hellboy. So this guy's been on a downward fucking spiral for a while. Then he starts fucking this fucking broad. And now he's just done.
See, but she's a co-producer, a co-writer, lead actress.
Blackmail.
I feel like she named all the characters in this stupid ass movie, dude, because the names are fucking absurd.
I got the feeling that this was like she read some trashy romance novel and was just like, you know what? If we included the devil, it would be so much better.
And here's the thing, dude, like we can't like really talk about this movie without like talking about the trappings of the plot or the morality and whatnot and the issues of temptation and all of these overarching things that are supposed to be happening. And I'm watching the film and I go, okay, well, what you're telling me is that like this is a world where the devil exists, right? Right. Okay. This is a movie where the devil tempts you to like, you know, to sell your soul, right? This is also a movie where supposedly there's this,
it's a pretty unfocused movie.
Devil is in the heart of man, dude.
I think it was saying that.
That's what I mean. But like, what I'm getting at is that like, it's so,
you didn't get the
it's
movie.
So dude. Ambiguous it's to that movie. Point. It's like, well, then if the point is that man is evil the entire time, then shutter this entire movie because we got it. I understand. It's not a point that hasn't been made before. And you're using this overused set piece to explain it. And I'm bored out of the gate.
Well, it just feels like everything was intended to be padded. Like, you know, like she's in prison. Now what do? We go day one, day two, day three. They introduced that fucking bit like 45 minutes into the movie.
So you know how long she's suffering for.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, and then the thing with the devil in there, it's like, how do we break up the monotony of these fucking jail scenes, you know? And it's like, oh, she's being tempted by the devil, and the devil is like a good thing for like for lust and like, you know, the masculine fucking urge and blah blah blah. So you got that in there, and it's like, and then so Neil Marshall gets to try to do his imagery, right?
And did you think the devil looked an awful lot like one of the creatures from The Descent?
Yeah,
like when they did those close-ups of
he looked like a fucking orc.
He's the same actor who did the.
The Spider Goro guy in the Danzig movie last year. No, just kidding.
For real? He's one of the engineers from Prometheus.
Oh, is he?
He's the main one. He's this big 7'1" tall.
Good to see that guy getting healthy.
Wait, dude.
The devil.
Oh, okay. They had that 7-foot plague doctor too. That was one of the shots that I really liked, was when he came through the door and he was just standing there.
Well, and those choices too, like they had these like over designed plague doctor masks. And I'm like, the point wasn't to be scary of the plague doctor mask. Like
understated, and it would be scary. Also, they wouldn't be wearing the plague mask to burn her house down.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Just to cover their faces.
Yeah, but from who? Each other?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
It's just trying to be spooky. And yeah. the way that they're sticking swords through the ceiling. I mean, it's every decision they made was just so fucking dumb.
Well, see, I had another problem with that too, because like she got a knife stuck through her hand and she managed to not make a peep. I felt like she was too strong through this entire movie.
Well, it's a
like,
very uninteresting protagonist.
Well, there was no, yeah. there was no like development and arc. She's just like,
no, static.
She can just do everything from the beginning. You know, she's just super tough from the beginning and it just never goes anywhere. There's no buildup. There's no breakdown. It's just, she's just there.
Well, you know, she's going to, I know I'm guilty of saying this a lot, but like, you know, she's going to make it the entire time. And that's what pisses me off about it, because there's no surprise to it. Like, oh dude, she made it out alive. Yeah. No shit.
Well, I wouldn't care if she got killed. I wouldn't care if she made it out. I wouldn't care either way because I'm not invested in.
Well, I was rooting for her to get killed though.
Right.
Because the movie was annoying. And
well, the acting, again, it's not one thing. It's not like the execution's bad. The script itself is bad. The structure's bad. And the execution's bad. See, and the costumes are bad. And the acting's bad.
There
nothing's
was
good.
Decent acting. Like Lord Funky Hat. Like that dude was a good actor.
The dude who came in and did the
yeah, the witch thing. Finder guy.
He was the best actor in the film.
Yeah, there was one or two other people that turned in pretty decent performances.
Nah, definitely not that fuck who was her landlord. That guy,
no. Squire.
Dude, ugh. And then that girl at the end, the one that takes the baby. Ooh, she was bad.
Well, dude, and the fucking gypsies.
Tobias!
Like, the gypsies. Like, by the way, the gypsy is, they're hunting witches and the gypsy's just hanging out with them. What? That's not how that fucking goes.
Well, and also, you know.
Like, and she's like, here, let me light your pipe. Like, dude.
The contrivances at the end too, that, you know, she lets the gypsy go. And I'm like, bitch, she put you in there. What the fuck? What are you doing? Like, you don't let her go.
And that dude who keeps fucking, that little kid who keeps bringing her shit.
And he's like, please do not. That awful haircut.
Yeah, do not lose hope. Do not lose hope.
And this, yeah, what was the point?
He's trying to get laid, dude. I like it. He's trying to, and he's like, and then that he finds that other chick, he leaves, and then she happens to be sitting exactly where she was the previous day, like where her husband died. Maybe it's supposed to be less time, but it felt like the room where it's like
an entire day.
Yeah, time didn't go like the way you meant for it and the way you presented your film.
Well, she at least stayed there one entire night.
And then she's like, are you coming? He's like, fuck it, I'll fuck this chick. You know what I mean?
I don't understand what that character is supposed to do, because on the one hand, you have him telling her, you have her telling Grace, like, don't lose hope, right?
Yeah.
So we're supposed to be like, all right, well, don't lose hope in terms of don't give up. But then it's an
absolutely hopeless situation.
But then at the same time, he's like, just give up, bitch. Just like, you know, just lean into it.
Also, maybe, you know, in a movie that's like talking so much about, so strongly about misogyny, he's like the not every man, you know, not every man.
Because he's not corrupted by the other men yet is the idea.
But he also didn't intervene in the attempted rape. So like, isn't he just as bad?
Well, and that's the thing. It's social norms. Like there was probably a lot of that going on. Here's the thing. The movie is actually very toothless, right? Well, yeah. That's the other part. Like the torture is toothless.
Everything happens off. Yeah,
everything happens off camera. Yeah, it's like it's not confrontational.
And for a movie about the devil and fucking witches, we didn't see a single tit a dick.
Well, okay, so not only is that not effective,
give me some dick, dude.
Not
least.
Only is that it's not
a big
effective,
old devil D.
Not only is that not effective and weaker for a horror movie, it's also like, here's the thing. You mentioned the witch, right, Jorge? That's like the American witch stuff going on and all that, right? This is in Europe, and as they fucking, they do a info dump at the end, over 500,000, but yeah, this is like over 500,000 women were killed.
It was actually like 50,000.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
It was like 50,000.
However, they need to have a definitive film about this. Like there needs to be an unflinching account of this, like the way that 12 Years a Slave is presented, the way that Schindler's List is presented, and the fact that you're going to try to tackle this is a really ambitious thing, and it brings a responsibility to fucking like do it in an unflinching manner. The fact that you're just trying to basically get like sensationalized bullshit out of this and failing.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, and
like this is not it.
So, if I'm understanding correctly, like, you know, these
that would make a great fucking film if they do it.
These
right.
judges that were part of, you know, these tribunals that, you know, deemed whether a person was a witch or not. They were unflinching. It wasn't like
they didn't care whether you did it or not. Like, they were just going to get you to admit.
It wasn't like, oh, come on, just tell me. Come on, just tell me you're a witch, please. No, motherfucker, they're going to be torturing you all day until you give up.
They wouldn't even be. trying to, okay, the only thing was, the only idea, I guess, that would keep her alive for this is that Squire wanted her to give
a confession.
A confession.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, I'm not trying to be, I'm like, look, and again, I'm saying this because history is a lot uglier than what they're presenting. He would have fucking raped her. He would have raped her. He wouldn't have had to go to any of these lengths. Then that's, to not say that is to deny fucking history. The history of this is a lot grosser and a lot more ugly than this R-rated horror movie is presenting. And there's no reason for that, except that they didn't, oh, we don't want to go there. You know, and it's not what fucking happened. She would have gotten beaten. She would have got raped. She would have got fucking burned. There would have been no guy giving her a fucking trial or anything like that.
Yeah, that whole like four days of like, we're gonna find out if you're didn't care.
They would have given her like the one day and then just fucking thrown her on the fire.
It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Or sunk her in the creek.
And did this guy direct like Game of Thrones episodes?
Yeah, the good ones.
So how can you like have such a poor recreation of time and place? You know, like again, I guess it goes back to production values and budget.
I mean,
and also the insistence of Charlotte Kirk being part of the cast and also the writing crew
and producer,
which set the standard for the whole rest of the thing that it's bullshit.
Yeah.
So like Charlotte Kirk is basically, she's the new one. She is the enemy.
She's the new Barbara Crampton.
Did someone say witch?
Old white witch?
Yeah, I know. That scene.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Fuck, man. Did someone say witch?
That was a great fucking scene. I was trying to send you a video. When it did that, I'm like, I'm going to record that. And then I realized you're going to have to record this whole movie. They're going to watch the movie.
Yeah. Don't ruin
what the best even worst this parts. Poster? What the fuck?
Oh, Jorge's got a good... That poster looks dope.
It's not for this movie. That's for goddamn... Dude, if you saw this poster and then you watch this film, it's... I don't even understand.
I mean, I don't even understand.
There's a lot of that going on with horror movies, though. I'll tell you that. Like, Psycho Gorman, as much as I enjoyed it, that poster is fucking badass, right? Mm-hmm. I watched the movie. I'm like, is this film with a camcorder? Like, but... Yeah. What else you guys think?
That character, that Ursula character.
Who was Ursula?
The burned up.
Yeah. Why? I mean, like, I wanted to know more about her and the fucking witch finder, because like I did like that witch finder as an actor and as a character. And then when he was talking about like, I remember the days the rains came, like, because she was on the fucking on the spit for being a witch, and she was on fire, and then the rains came. He's like, it was an act of God. That, dude. And like then he trained her to be a fucking assassin for good. I mean, like, for good, for his cause anyway, for the Lord.
You know what this really reminded me of? Did you guys ever watch with Matt Damon and
Matt Damon
and the other guy, the Brothers Grimm?
No.
Did you watch the Brothers Grimm? That's Terry Gilliam who did that too, and I never watched it.
It reminded me so much of that movie.
Was it Heath Ledger?
Yes, Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
That's who the other guy is. It was, you know, you said it earlier that it was, this movie is so toothless. Like it's got no claws, man. And it's presenting these big ideas and in this really infantile manner. And I'm like, bro, you've lost the hunt, man.
I'm thinking of like, apart from horror movies, period pieces that present stuff with more, like, have you seen like Rob Roy?
Yeah.
Notice how the guy raped his wife. Do you remember that part? Yeah. And it's PG-13. Like, there are ways to do this with teeth. So the fact that you're an R-rated horror movie, like, what is your excuse? Like, you didn't want to degrade your protagonist that way or something? Like, that's
well, yeah, because I gotta imagine that Charlotte Kirk was probably like, well, I'm not gonna be getting raped in this movie. I'm gonna be the rapey.
Well, and by the time it gets to a thing where the tables have turned and she puts knives through his hands, which no one could ever get out of until he tries to, like 30 minutes later. You remember that?
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's fucking retarded. But by the time that happens, you don't care. And then again, you mentioned the music earlier. Shit happens, this dramatic, and it's like, duh! It's like, damn.
Well, but you know, by that point, Mickey not Mousing only
the score the whole time.
Not only do you not care, but this movie by that point has proven that every single thing that you think is gonna happen does happen. It's like very obvious at all times. It holds your hands, even like at the very beginning when that fucking guy drinks the beer and he croaks. You're like, okay, well, that guy put something in his drink, right? Or he like swapped something. You knew right away that the squire. Well,
they focus in on the beer stein, and I go, oh.
Well, but that's okay. Exactly what I mean. It holds your hand for the whole thing. So by the time you get to that point, you're like, okay, she's going to leave the gun there. And it's like, you know, earlier he's questioning why would any man kill himself when it's against God, and he's going to kill himself, but oh, I bet you it's not going to be there. Like the gun's not going to be loaded and she's going to have to fucking suffer. And that's exactly what happens. It's just exactly.
But, and I mean, and the idea that he wouldn't do everything he could to get out of that situation with his, right? Like,
those were just like ice picks too.
Use your mouth, dude. or just pull your hand up. It's either that or you're going to burn alive. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
Get your fucking.
He sat and waited for a long time till she was gone.
Did y'all notice that we had a fucking car explosion in this?
Yeah, dude.
God damn.
When she jumped out the window. Period. That CGI on that movie. Fire was so bad.
So,
too.
So homegirl gets lit on fire, Ursula.
Yep.
And she jumps out the window and lands in a hay.
I'm thinking it was probably manure.
Who cares? Either way, brother, there was a fucking explosion.
Yeah,
there
was. How come you call him brother, but not me?
Like a straight up.
Like a Michael Bay explosion.
Like a Michael Bay ass explosion. And I'm like.
I'm pretty sure I heard a tiger growl, too.
What? That's dope. The fuck?
What's wrong with that?
I mean, it's period.
Suspension of disbelief.
I mean, it's cool, dude. Okay. It's not in this movie.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, you know what? The more I'm coming like around to the other way, I think I need to watch it a few more times. Oh,
you missed the explosion, didn't you?
No, I did miss that explosion, and I'm kind of sad because, you know, that's more.
Well, she yeets herself out the window and then like hits the deck and it explodes.
Yeah,
if you crazy. If you cut out all of the scenes where Charlotte Kirk is kind of just staring off into space,
making about 5 minutes worth of film.
She made some dumbass faces. Like, again, I was thinking about that movie, The Turning, from last year with Mackenzie Williams or whatever her name is. She's making faces. I can't make faces through the microphone, but they're retarded.
No, we know. Try. We know what faces you're making.
Yeah, dude. The microphone.
It's almost like Charlotte Kirk watched fucking Ready or Not. And was like, I want that.
She watched Ready or Not.
I want
she watched,
that.
She well, watched like, Martyrs. She watched The Hunt.
Well, it's also what I got too is that look, here's the thing. That time period, again, they can make a definitive film about that time period and do some really good, fucking interesting shit with it. This is definitely
like
not
the
it.
Witch?
Huh?
You mean like The Witch?
No, that's the American. I mean, in the, right, Europe, right, right. The European
but you
one.
You mean like The Witch?
Not really, no. I mean, a totally like, different one. One, too, that can end tragically with the woman getting killed.
I mean, but even a film like The Crucible has like got much more riveting.
The Witch is like a fantasy, like straight up, basically. I mean, like do again, like a historical account. Like do one that is not going to be a happy ending, you know? Like, but show the reality of the situation because there's a lot to say. That was only 200 years ago, and they're fucking just killing women indiscriminately. With the church and the state. So there's a few things saying there. The church and the state are teaming up to fucking kill women. So if you don't think that like systemic things exist, well, you're fucking dumb because
you've missed the mark completely.
Yeah, a little bit. And they couldn't even vote in this country till not too long ago either.
Like 70 years ago.
Yeah, that's not very long. I mean, that's like last week in the fucking scheme of things.
That's like 2.5 COVIDs ago, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Where the fuck was I going with this?
I don't know.
Oh, where I was going with it is that, yeah, where the fuck was I going with
it? I don't know.
Where did it start before you said the
brother,
witch?
Brother, he yeeted himself out of his own mind.
Yeah, we were talking about car explosions.
Fuck car explosions.
Fuck car alarms.
I don't even remember.
Oh.
I'm actively forgetting.
Oh, this is what I got. Okay, you know, movies like period pieces like Braveheart and like Gladiator, and you got these heroic figures that are like, you know, there's a tragedy that occurs. So it was kind of like they were taking that trope and reversing it. Instead of the husband who loses his wife and all this, it's the woman who loses her husband. And then she has to prove like that she can endure torture and all this stuff. And she becomes like the warrior thing and all this kind of stuff. So I felt like it was kind of trying to invert those tropes. You know what I'm saying? Though, it goes about that in a very half-assed, hackneyed, stupid way. And I don't think that era of time is where to tell that story. Because where that story ends up is in tragedy for thousands and thousands of women.
Yeah, there's no happy ending for these.
That's exactly right.
For these fuckers, dude.
That's you're misrepresenting, and you're not making whatever point you were trying to make supposedly about this time period. Like, you're not fucking making the point with her becoming like, oh, I escaped and I use a sword now. Also,
yeah, right. I guess that's her character development is at the beginning. She could barely wield a sword and she's dragging it. And then she's using it by the end of the movie.
Well, she's knocking a dude's head clean off with it.
Yeah. So that's her character development. She goes from being like, badass to even more badass.
Well, and you mentioned too, how she can just endure punishment. If you're getting tortured for days on end, you should look tired and sickly.
That's what I'm saying. She doesn't. She looks like she's got hair and makeup done. She's always got her lips like just lightly done with a little bit of pink. She always looks just fresh and clean.
And did they do their hair and makeup like that back then? Did they do that at all?
The period stuff is just all fucked up. Like, it's supposed to be, I think, 1665, but like they keep using fucking like dialogues and shit that weren't even invented until like the early 1900s. And
you know who would do a good movie about this?
Is not Neil Marshall.
No,
the Saska twins.
No, the dude who did The Witch and fucking The Lighthouse, because he'd go nuts for the period details.
Yeah,
and the diction and everything they taught, all their language.
Forget the diction. Let's get more dick showing.
Yeah.
It's a birthmark. Why didn't they just cut her fucking hair off?
Think of the massive lack of self-respect Neil Marshall has to know everything about this woman when he meets her via Hellboy, right? And it's like, oh, you fucked this CEO and this CEO, and I'm really impressed with you. You want to come do a movie with, like, this guy?
Wait, Hellboy was before Me Too, though, right?
It was 2019.
Did Neil Marshall get Me Too?
It was not 2000. No, I'm saying like...
A lot of people around him did, though.
Yeah, he may not have gotten Me Too'd, but like...
The guy who set up the casting for Hellboy and the exec who set up the shit got Me Too'd.
Oh, boy.
So it's... There's a dark story here.
There's a thread.
So Neil Marshall was just like, dude, well, I don't... You know, like, I'll fuck her. You know what I mean? Like, I'm cool. And so... Cool. He's basically like the dude in the movie who's just trying to get it with those chicks.
You know what's crazy, man?
So I gotta mention, because a few months ago, Matt, I was on Discord, and he's like, Neil Marshall could do no wrong. But I'm happy.
I don't recall that.
You said that. You
did say those words.
You did say that. So
I think you said it on the show.
No, I said it on Discord.
I feel bad because I've seen exactly two Neil Marshall movies. The best one.
Neil Martian?
Neil Martian movies. I've seen The Descent and I've seen this. And I don't think I'm getting proper characterization of his career.
No, I mean, it's kind of, that's perfect. The polar, because there's The Descent and Dog Soldiers. And then there's Hellboy and The Reckoning.
Well, I even like, I don't know if you've seen Doomsday.
You mentioned liking that, right?
It's not necessarily a good film, but it's one of those where it's this post-apocalyptic world where, you know, people still drive cars around and whatnot, but it's fun, right? And you, I don't know, man, what happens to Neil Marshall along the way? I don't understand, dude.
I don't know. Cause when Rhett was giving me the shit about Hellboy, I was like, okay, well, you know, like, I feel like it's Neil Marshall's good on stuff that he writes and directs. Maybe he didn't write Hellboy. I don't remember if he wrote Hellboy or not. I don't think he did.
But then
he's got a writing credit for this. But I think it's of note that he's the third listed on the writing credits. I think Charlotte Kirk was the first one listed.
He's getting his brains fucked out by Charlotte Kirk.
I don't know. She's got something on him. Like, I don't want to imply that it's sex related.
What do you mean you don't want to imply?
Maybe she knows that he murdered somebody. I don't know. Allegedly.
Dope. That's just a better movie than this.
Maybe. But there's some reason why.
Did you just say allegedly?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's some reason why Neil Marshall... Wow. Agreed to make this movie, and I have a really hard time believing it's because he believed in her as an actress or this script.
He was doing a lot of coke. She showed up when he was hard, and that's it. It's that simple. And now here we are. Here we are with this fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, well, regardless of how we got here, we are.
You know, if this movie taught me anything, it's that when a film comes from a publicist and there's got a review embargo, there's probably a good reason for that. If the movie's good, they're going to want you talking about it far in advance. But if the movie's bad, they don't want you to say a word until it comes out.
Yeah. That's rough. All right. Well, that's Who Goes Our Podcast for The Reckoning. Don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
No, do not spend $6 watching it, especially.
Yeah. What's coming up next, fellas?
Wrong Turn?
No, Willy's Wonderland.
Oh, that new Jack Nicholas Black Cage. Movie.
Yeah, and I'm excited because even if that sucks, it can't suck like this because it's still going to be puppets and Nicholas Cage.
Like that.
It's going to be puppets and Nick Cage. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be hard for it to just really suck like this. Don't suck like that.
Don't suck like that.
After that is Wrong Turn and then St. Maud.
If everybody in this movie became puppets except for one person, who would you keep?
That's a variation on an old theme.
It is, but this movie specifically.
Let the judge be human.
The witch finder?
Yeah, the witch finder. He's just torturing Muppets. Yeah. That would be fucking rad.
That would be good.
No, have the little guy with the moose haircut, the fat kid. He's the only one. The puppets are all like just figments of his imagination.
The only decent human being in the entire film, basically.
I mean, he did steal a baby and like kill a man.
For the right reasons, dude.
To free a witch.
To free a bitch.
Did you get the impression that she was a witch?
Well, dude, like, I think that's the...
Look.
No, because when they were talking about her mom matter? And like
shit,
her
Neil mom... I think Neil Marshall like, got the impression that she was a witch.
Maybe she is.
I think they probably had several ideas and changed their mind 9 or 10 times while filming.
Well, because they said that her mom died like to protect her or something. So it's like, oh, wait, why is she protecting you unless you're a fucking witch? Is she a witch?
It's indecipherable, brother. Just...
It doesn't make that much sense in the first place.
Did she even fucking die?
There's no mystery.
Who? The main chick, Grace.
No.
No.
Yeah,
she's out like by a lake with a sword.
She's the lady of the lake.
Because the fucking wine wasn't poisoned. Yeah.
I poisoned your wine.
So she just fucking lived happily ever after.
Well, she doesn't know where her fucking baby is.
That's what I'm saying. It's a totally like...
I mean, she's going to find her fucking baby because it's with her friend.
How?
What do you mean, how?
How is she going to... At this point, dude, the friend and the little tubby fucker have a half day on her. They ain't going to find each other. It's the 1600s, dude. You can't
in
just
in this
like,
movie, they would. In this movie, she'd be in the countryside and run into them 2 days later.
Yeah that's what's going to happen.
This movie's fucking retarded.
It's going to be a fucking trilogy where it's going to be her fighting her way back to her baby, and then she finds her baby, who's now a witch finder of his own.
And it weakens the impact of the whole thing.
He spent all that time trying to find his mom.
It's a real Sophie's Choice.
Yeah.
That would be a better film.
Sophie's Choice is whether or not to watch this movie. Yeah, right. And it's an easy choice.
This is one of the longest hour and 50 minutes I've had in a while.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like straight up.
I had to Jorge this movie. I had to fucking 20 minute chunks.
Sometimes it's what you got
to
do.
Dude, I had to fast forward.
It was so nice because I was like, okay, this scene is over. Do I understand what happened in this scene? Yep. Cool. Good.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
All right, idiots. That's the Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 296. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening.
I really don't care if you do or not.
This drive, this work day, this whatever you're doing.
Maybe you're fucking.
Oh God, if you're listening to us while you're fucking, you've made it.
Then I owe you a high five.
You've made a huge mistake.
Hell, motherfucking.
Hell yeah. I bet Little Turk does. That baby was conceived listening to Who Goes Our Podcast.
We should get to name this baby.
He was weaned on Who Goes There.
All right. See you next week when hopefully Nick Cage. What is wrong with me, dude?
Maybe it's that alcohol you're drinking.
Nick
dude.
Cage doesn't disappoint next week. Cool. Bye. Fuck you.
Mean.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive. Never get out of this world alive.